The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, page 5 of your notes still, Roman numeral 17. A doctrine that is missing in many Christian environments is the one we call rebound. The rebound technique. God has provided for us, the way we're made up, a simple and easy way to reestablish fellowship with God. This is based on personal confession of sins, known and unknown. If you name a particular sin, any others you committed prior to that are instantly forgiven. It's quick, it's easy, it's grace. It works every time. It's for all believers. Believers will continue to repeat certain type sins. They are covered by 1 John 1:9. And the grace of God that enables us as believers to step back into fellowship at any time and glorify God, and on this occasion to appreciate the information communicated to you. We are talking about the unfolding plan of God and where we're headed, and the details related thereto. So let's take the usual time to make the usual preparation so that we can fulfill the imperative to worship in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to provide for our positive volition the information we need to work our way through these perilous times. We thank you that we have the light of the prophetic word and Bible doctrine in general, so that we can move forward and finish our course and lay hold of the high reward. Thank you for this assembly and this opportunity. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. We're dealing with the events following the rapture of the church. The subject of the rapture is now getting some press in the news, I've noticed, although they get things messed up. They're talking about it. They're going to be talking about it big time. It's going to be all that people can talk about. Once this event occurs, and all living believers and those that have preceded us will be raised and meet the Lord in the air. This is going to happen right, obviously, out in the open, in front of everybody, just as it was with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and those selected individuals who were raised from the dead at his resurrection back to a body of mortality, but they were raised. Their graves were destroyed. Their graves were disturbed, and they went and knocked on the door of their relatives and freaked them out. It was another additional sign that Christ was raised from the dead. And so, with millions of us disappearing right in front of our fellow man, unbelievers, all over the place, a lot of them in the United States. Certainly, our state has a lot of believers in it that are going to be pulled out of here, resurrected right where they are, whatever they're doing. And we will all meet the Lord in the air. The event that follows, we got to take care of business first before we go on to the third heaven for the 7-year tribulation. We will receive our evaluation and our rewards that we have coming at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll go on to meet the Lord in the air. We'll meet the Lord in the air, and then we'll go on from there to assemble in the third heaven. We will be eyewitnesses to the events unfolding there around the throne. God will take care of the logistics. You can't wrap your head around that, considering how many believers will be there. I'm just talking about the church age crowd, because we get our resurrection body ahead of the Old Testament crowd. There's a verse on that. We're made perfect before they are. I call it, for those in heaven without their resurrection bodies, I call it semi-ultimate sanctification. Ultimate sanctification is body, soul, and spirit brought together at the rapture event. The opening of the seven seals and the judgments that fall during the first and second halves of the tribulation. This will all conclude with a ceremony, the marriage, a type of marriage, relationship, a permanent relationship between Jesus Christ and the bride of Christ, which is the church in the third heaven. And we will have a ceremony, and the ceremony will be, according to Jewish custom, in the house of the father of the bridegroom. That's where it took place. Then, after that, the bride and the groom typically would have a wedding supper. We typically have, typically in our society, this follows the wedding ceremony at some place, location, for those who witness the ceremony and the bride and the groom. In this case, it's super elaborate. It's befitting of the situation. The 1,000 years in the trib, in the millennia, the 1,000 years is the wedding supper. Excuse me. The wedding supper will occur over, and there's all this detail in Scripture regarding the rule and reign of Jesus Christ over the nations that will start off real small, since there will be a relatively small number of people, I'm talking in their natural bodies, that make it through the seven-year tribulation as believers, and they will be divided into Gentiles and Jews, and they will be told to go inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He'll clean up the environment, because it'll be trashed pretty good, considering the events transpiring in the tribulation. He will clean up the environment, restock the oceans, because everything in the ocean will die. Everything. And just as he did on that day of restoration in Genesis 1, he alone will create all the new life forms. Animals will change. You won't have any fear or any concern about a dangerous creature from an insect on up the ladder. There will not be any of that. The curse will be largely, if not absolutely, lifted in some instances. And this is what these people will inherit who start off the millennial civilization and reestablish and pioneer new nations. Remember, in the tribulation, things are torn down. So there'll be a small group of people spreading out like they were supposed to do, but congregated at Babel, but then God broke that up and they spread in all directions and established the nations, some of which we know today, going clear back in their history to that time. These nations will be started up again. Israel will be established in their land with their land grant mandate. They never did hold the full territory promised to them through the Abrahamic covenant. They got a lot of it, but they didn't get all of it. There is a description of the extent of this land grant that's now occupied by the Jews and their enemies. That's going to change. And that's the thing that none of the people in high places have got nailed down. That land is sacred, whether the Jews are in it, whether they got kicked out and returned. This situation is unprecedented. It's a sign. What nation has been evicted not once, but three times, and has returned two times and reestablished another, what we call a commonwealth? The first was under Joshua. The second was those exiles who elected to come up out of Babylon after the 70-year captivity. The northern kingdom, because Israel split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom was taken into Assyrian captivity. They didn't make a return. They just stayed scattered. And then, of course, the nation that was in place when our Lord appeared on the earth at the first advent was uprooted by the Romans and scattered. It's a picture of it is on Titus's arch. The Jews hunkered down, their candelabra, they're being drug off into captivity. And they were scattered beyond that all, through all the nations. As I've told you before, the greater number of Jews right now on earth exist here in the United States. There was a great migration of the Jews in the United States at various periods in our history. The biggest population of them is concentrated in New York. Just details. They're going to come boiling out of here. Because the prophecy said, I'm going to scatter you, and then at a certain time, this is God speaking, I am tired of the whispering and the talk of the nations, bad-mouthing the Jews and the promised land concept. So what we're going to do is we're going to return you incrementally from here and there and so forth. As I've told you, when I visited there, I saw Jews with the racial or the physical characteristics, even the cuisine of the nations they were scattered to. I saw Asian Jews, African Jews, particularly Ethiopians, Russian, Western European, those from Arab countries, and American Jews that of their own free will, it's in their DNA. It's weird. It's in their DNA. They are out of pocket. However they're doing out here in the nations and prospering or whatever's going on with them, periods of persecution, this is ramping up again. The attack on them is like it said, you will not find your real home there. You may live your life out there, but you're scattered because you acted up big time in the land. That was always through the law of Moses. You carry this so far and don't repent and turn back to me, which they did at various points in their history, and then all bets were off. You're okay. But those occasions when they took it over the line and got the fifth cycle, which is military defeat and eviction from their homeland. It's still their homeland. An interesting observation about the homeland. It's in the prophecies. I've repeated it to you over and over again. When the Jews are out and various Gentiles come in, it could be the Turks, it could be whoever. Whenever the Jews were out, the real estate languished for lack of a caretaker. If you let a place go, it gets overgrown and all other kinds of things, There's no control in the environment to do it. So when the Jews came back before 1948, they had to drain swamps, start agriculture up again. None of the Gentiles who were in the land were permitted, or frustrated, if you want to put it that way. They were frustrated from making that the wonderful place that it has the potential to be, that it is now, although very small. I saw the prosperity over there. That prosperity is a result of Jewish immigration and on through past the establishment of the Jewish Commonwealth, the one in 1948. God's timing. He has a timeline for everything. Everything has a timeline. So because he was tired of all of the talk, even Christians that are messed up, not informed, that Jews have no significance, this isn't blah, blah, blah. No, they do. And everybody's going to find this out, and most of them the hard way. But that land over there and the Jews that are now resident in it, being attacked now at least from two sides, and nations around the world are up in arms, they cannot run them out of there. Because God's going to keep them there, and he'll pull whatever strings he needs to preserve that nation. And it's going through hard times right now. Big time. Imagine living in a little place like that. I mean, it's little. When you get in it, it's beautiful, and you travel all up and down. We went the highest part, the most northern, most southern, western and eastern. Jordan holds part of the land of Israel, across the Jordan, the country Jordan, and of course down in Gaza. And they're shooting rockets and stuff in from Hezbollah out of Lebanon. And the Jews are apparently attacking. They've attacked with airplanes the airports in Syria. It's something what we're watching right now. It's amazing. I think one of the better sites for keeping up with it, you have your own, I'm sure, and you see anything of a particular interest, is Israel News. It's written from a Christian perspective. Fundamentalist, but Christian perspective. Biden, a quote from his speech when he was there. We, as long as America stands, and we, America, will stand forever. And we will stand with you forever. Paraphrased it a little bit. It brings out that same thing we saw in the prophecy with regard to Babylon. I am. I'll never be a widow. And I'll never see loss of children. Citizens. Wow. So you see, our leaders and these people are completely divorced from the Bible we've been trying to study and put in front of you with regard to the prophetic scenario. I think there's going to have to be some big house cleaning so that Israel can be ready for the influx of American Jewish immigrants who will come out of here like they came out of Egypt. When they came up out of Egypt, it was impossible with man. They wouldn't have a chance against the mighty Egyptian empire. They had no military. What are they going to do? When the Lord fights for you, you're going to win. How big and bad the enemy is does not matter. A whole world of antagonistic people isn't going to matter. He's going to take them down one by one in the tribulation. And we're going to start over. Except this time, there's not to be any more of this nonsense. No more of this international warfare and organized crime and all of it. It's off. This is the rule of the rod of iron. You step over this line and you are dead. You don't commit these crimes or these sins, these particular ones. You can sin, but you can't do these. You can't do murder. You can't do rape. You cannot engage in this activity because the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be out there dealing with you. And see that this city is run right. This country is run right. And Christ will rule and reign from Jerusalem. The Father will set His King on this throne. And He will rule and reign over the nations for 1,000 years. That's the wedding supper of the Lamb. We have a separate doctrine, the doctrine of the 1,000 years or the doctrine of the millennium. At the end of the millennium, we have a revolt. This is a shocker. But this is in Revelation 20, and it is basically stating that, you can read here, I'll just read on. This is at the second advent. We got to get rid of some people, and Satan and his organization will be placed in hell. The devil's never been in hell. Okay, unlike a lot of dummies think. He's never been in hell. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss. See that word abyss? That's what the Antichrist comes up out of, the abyss. It gets tiresome with some people. I don't think he comes out of the abyss. I'm just going with the plain language of Scripture. Take it or leave it. I'm not arguing it. He comes out of the abyss. And a great chain in his hand. Now, what this relates to in actuality, I don't know. But it's something that this angel has been given the ability to do to humiliate Satan. You remember, Satan is created as Lucifer, the head angel with all the power and glory and everything. We have the five I wills of Satan. In his revolutionary manifesto, he had the five I wills. You can read it in Isaiah, I believe 13. The five I wills of Satan correspond to, somebody put this together, I didn't. It was real good. I don't know whoever first latched onto it. Correspond to the five falls of Satan. To the extent that a person exalts themselves against God, to that extent, they're going to be brought down. Poetic justice, it's called. Poetic justice. It's great when you see it. And so, Satan's five falls include his initial fall from perfection and sinlessness with his original sin, pride. That was the original sin. Pride of what? Pride of appearance. And then go all the way down the line and we get the second fall. It occurs in the middle of the tribulation. He no longer, now this is true, Satan currently, I don't know what the schedule is, he has access to the throne room of God. He goes up there and maligns you and I, trying to get God to turn against us or whatever. Make a big deal. What believer did this? Did it again. I don't know how it goes. It gets thrown out of the court every time because the believer is covered by the grace of God. Okay? I imagine he makes a big stink if a believer, even a positive believer, commits a big sin. I'm convinced he does. And names you and I right before the audience. And the thing gets thrown out. So in the middle of the trib, he no longer has that access. The verse is in Revelation. And he comes down to earth having great wrath. He's been shut off forever from accessing the third heaven. This is not commonly known out there. They think Satan's in hell or some stupid stuff. The only demons that are in hell are those that came down and produced the hybrids. Angels came down, male, they're all angels by classification are male. There's no, I know you see these things with female angels. No, there isn't. It's all males. They are all strictly without a counterpart. But these angels came down, and like angels can do, manifests themselves as attractive males. And they picked out the prettiest girls they could find. And they had children by them. And that's your ancient stories of these mighty men. In this case, Genesis 6, straightforward. It's also in the New Testament. And they produced these strong men, mighty men, with angelic and human DNA, whatever. Who can explain that? Nobody can explain it in scientific terms, because it's something that happened. They were, because they participated in this, they left their first estate. That's the word. They have been confined in a place, the Greek is Tartarus. It's one of the areas in the abyss. They will be released, by the way, for a 5-month campaign on the face of the earth. But they won't come back as attractive-looking males to seduce females. Oh, no. They're going to come back as, like, out of a horror movie. And they're going to torture and torment men for 5 months. People will try to escape them and kill themselves. They won't let them. You'll be the proverbial monkey on your back. And then it's over. But Satan, he lays hold of Satan. The serpent, he's signified by a serpent. They say that's the logo for NASA, the forked tongue of a serpent. No, they're not going to tell you that. They're going to say it's the tail of some plane. I'm betting with these occultists, these masons, with all their trickery. Anyway, he'll take hold of the serpent of old. The serpent goes back to the garden where he possessed an ordinary reptile. One with legs that started the deal with Eve. And the judgment on that reptile and a bunch of them around the world, because there's a lot of different reptiles and there's a lot of different variety of snakes. That's where we got our snakes. God just redid them. Another miracle. So that's the serpent of old, who is the devil, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That's his prison sentence. And threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. The mass deception that's over humanity from even running amok out there, spreading his doctrines of demons and all these ideologies and concepts. That's the fountain of them right there. Yes, it comes down through humans. But the humans are under the influence or possession of Satan and his angels. That's why we've been sold so much that's so wrong. He will not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short period. Whatever a short period constitutes. All right, Now, we'll skip over. It talks about those in the Trib who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus, verse 4. This is mass genocide. And it will center, the ones who get hit with it are the Western Europeans. You know, Greece, Italy, Spain, France, blah, 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 Germany, all that. That'll be the Antichrist kingdom that he'll take off with and start conquering and doing his thing. And anyone who won't take his mark will get their head cut off. Now, I can think of a lot easier and more efficient way of killing people. Just inject them with something. You don't have to do some messy stuff like the French Revolution, where the people that ran it, they didn't tell you the truth in the history book. The instigators of the French Revolution. It's the same crowd that wants to create chaos and all the rest of it so they can get their new world order, as they call it. It's right on your dollar bill, I think. Out of chaos comes order. We create the chaos, and then we get this new order that is an attack on all the divine institutions. Did you hear that? Some professor in some major, I don't want to say a college, I thought it was Stanford, but it doesn't matter. Some professor high up in one of the major colleges in the United States says that he's discovered there is no free will. Oh, well. Attack on the divine institutions. You got those memorized, don't you? The first one is free will. He put that in Adam and Eve. They weren't put in that garden to fail, but they were given free will to make a choice. To stick with what Yahweh said, or go with this stranger in paradise who's contradicting it, who's real slick. He didn't just come on and just jump. He spun it off in such a way as to lure Eve into it. Volition, marriage. Oh, okay. Man and woman, got that. The result of that, the third one, family, children. And a fourth, it took a while for this one to ever kick in. Because before the flood, there was one language. I'm sure people were starting to show different racial characteristics. One language, all that. After the flood, nations. Nations are to balance each other. If you have one big deal, then a lot of bad stuff can happen. That's why the Tower of Babel incident was broken up by, oh, we'll just erase your language that you were born and taught, and we'll give you a brand new one in your brain computer, and you will be perfectly happy, and you'll be able to speak fluently a language that you didn't go to school to learn. It's called a miracle. And they all said, well, let's drop this project, and they all went their separate way. Because he originally told everybody to spread out and fill the earth. They didn't do it. Of course, we're going to build this kingdom down here in Iraq, what we call Iraq today. That's the second fall of Satan is his expulsion from heaven. His third fall is His fourth fall is he is taken off the earth for the millennium. Nothing. None of it. All the false religions he's authored, they're not here. They're not authorized anywhere. What it is on the earth is the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison, verse 7, and will come out to deceive the nations which are on the four corners of the earth. Four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. During the millennium, there is no warfare. Nations don't settle their differences by putting armies out there. In fact, there are no military academies. There are no boot camps. There is nobody in uniform because war is prohibited. So we're not going to have a lot of people dying as a result of wars. So no war, nobody learning war, but he'll gather them together for the war. Now, I don't know what they're going to do, because some things you just have to be there and see it unfold to see, you know, the nitty-gritty, the details. Are they just going to be a mob marching? Or are they going to, first of all, it's going to take him a while to convince them they can overthrow Jesus Christ. But I've come to the conclusion you can convince negative people of practically anything. Dress it all up, give it academic terminology, push it, push it, push it, and they'll be believing it. The most absurd stuff. Now, if the nations are here described as they are, the number of them like the sand of the seashore, all these people are unbelievers? When Christ rules and they rub elbows with, so to speak, interact with those of us in our resurrection bodies, which can do all kinds of phenomenal stuff that a human body can't do in the best of condition, disappear, walk on water, whatever. This is a shocker that they're going to fall for it. People are born, they come into the world, they either desire to have a relationship with God or they don't. Most don't. We called it positive volition at God awareness or God consciousness. And a lot of believers, spiritually, they just go as far as get saved. Well, they might learn stuff about the Bible, but it isn't going to make the maturity adjustment. Because you got a devotional study and bought a bunch of books. You need a pastor and a local church to do it by God's plan. Anyway, they're called Gog and Magog. To gather them together for war, the number of them like the sand of the seashore, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth. A plain is flat. All this earth's topography will be changed. The big mountain ranges during the millennium won't exist. You won't have to work your way through a mountain range to get over to here. God put the mountain ranges up and the topography of the earth also to keep people separate from each other. Because when they get together, they act up. Now we got technology that can override some of that, but still. And surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. God lets them come that close. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. That's over. They're all ashes on the ground. So that's the Gog and Magog event. As I've said over and over many times, no amount of evidence can persuade negative volition of the truth. Either they won't even look at it, or they'll find a way to discount it and throw it aside. Look at the Jews today. They got the Old Testament. Oh, we'll just take the religious ones. There's the secular Jews, the liberal Jews, the whatever kind of Jews. In Israel. Israel's got a mess in it. In the population. All this. God's going to sort it all out. They're there for a purpose. But the ones that are religious say the Old Testament, this is the Word of God. Okay, you're right. It is. But how can you miss this stuff? How can you have blinders on? If you respect the Old Testament, then you respect the prophets. And if the prophets said, you're going to be removed from the land because you disobeyed me, and you know when that happened, the last go-around was 70 AD, so why did we get kicked out? We had a temple, we were doing all this stuff, we were teaching people about the rules for the law of Moses, blah, 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 kept the Sabbath, did all this stuff, and then why'd we get kicked out? I wonder. You repudiated your Messiah and you never repented of it in mass. And so your punishment is you got evicted. And all you got to do is go to the Old Testament and talk about the first advent and say, when he appears, who he will be, where the details. But you didn't like that part. You couldn't swallow that part that we're going to repudiate him. The verse in the New Testament, in John chapter 1, he came to his own, and his own received him not. With all of the credentials, all of them. His parentage, virgin birth, there's a prophecy. Even the town he was going to be born in. No one would have picked Bethlehem. It's become famous because he was born there. It's a little hamlet. You'd have figured it'd be in Jerusalem, wouldn't you? It's just a short distance between the two. I think 10 miles. You didn't get it, did you? It's right in your face. And to this day, they've hardened their hearts to this. Now, some Jews do come around, but it's nothing like it's going to be. You can't figure this out. It's like all these doctrines we've taught. I can add details. I even made a big correction. To me, it was a pretty big one. It wasn't monstrous. About the rider on the white horse and a verse in Thessalonians. I hope you've stored it away. You build on this and add things. Okay, that's not correct. But the basic model is true. How many churches today in the United States of America that claim to be Bible-believing churches? We'll exclude the liberals and the Catholics and all that, believe the United States is in prophecy and would be willing to teach it. I've been on evangelical sites that believe in the trib, second advent, blah 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 blah. And they'll be moaned the condition America was in. Well, an unbeliever with norms and standards can do that. A guy that always considered a liberal, he probably still is in a certain lot of ways. He's come out against a bunch of this wokeism. Bill, Mayor, that guy had a TV program. Oh, he's made some really good statements. He's attacking these universities because they're so stupid and the stuff they're promoting. He sees it as an attack on culture. And you go this way and you have nothing. And he's on the right side of the Israeli conflict over there. These people are terrorists. Is there something you don't understand about a terrorist? You can go to that site, Israel News, and read their daily stuff if you want to get it on your cell phone or on your computer. You might find it interesting. They have some good insights. They keep you up to date. All the people that these terrorists killed at a music festival. It was a festival for peace. A peace festival. And they're all out there. Suddenly all these pickups and these guys with machine guns shooting people willy-nilly all over the place. One girl was telling her testimony. I was in one of those porta-potties. They're all lined up out there. Because this is out in the desert. The Negev. She said, if I had stayed in there any longer, I'd be dead. They just went out and shot at the front of the doors of all those. All up and down there. There's 700 people missing, I read. She walked 40 miles to get away from it. See, these are terrorists. They run the Palestinians. The Palestinians are just their host nation. So they have taxes and food and stuff. So they can hide their military command posts and various things in mosques, schools, and hospitals. So if those get hit with bombs, oh. See, this is the kind of evildoers they are. One guy gave his testimony. His father was a high official, Hamas. He became a believer in Jesus Christ. He says they all need to be wiped out. I mean, if people in the Old Testament deserve to be wiped out, who were the first people to attack the Jews when they came up out of Egypt? the Amalekites. They were a very vicious group. They didn't just defeat people. They took joy in dismembering and throwing arms and legs in the air and skin and all that. You know, that kind of mentality. And God told Israel, from generation to generations, I want you to fight an Amalekite. You find an Amalekite, kill him. Saul didn't do that, and he got demoted from being king. And Samuel took out a sword, and this king he didn't kill, this Amalekite ruler he didn't kill, Samuel cut him to shreds. That's the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Remember that old Fundy Diddy? And they're destroyed. So this is, and then we come to the fifth fall of Satan, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. As I've said to you before, wherever that is, I can tell you where hell is. Do you know that drilling down through the surface there, they've only gotten so far. Down, down, down. You can see the deepest well drilled. They get to a certain point, it's too blankety hot. Where the beast and the false prophet are also, they get company. Get this. The Antichrist, Alexander the Great, died back 33 or so B.C. He went to hell. He's been there ever since. He's coming out. He's going to be out of there for 7 years. But at the second advent, he and the false prophet are taken alive, and they're not thrown back into hell. Their souls go to the lake of fire. So there's only two in the lake of fire. Now there's Satan and his entire organization come in there. And that's where they are, permanent. This is the fifth and final fall of Satan. Where the beast and the false prophet are also. I'm just reporting information. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You're out there listening to me. You can avoid this by believing in Jesus Christ right now. All I can do is show you the escape hatch to get away from the fate of the great majority of humanity who have the same opportunities I do. I don't care what their culture. If you're positive and you want the truth and that's in your heart, God will get you to it. It may be some kind of a route that you have to take, but he was. Not one person. See, God from eternity past knows everything. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're going to think in an hour. It might not be good, but he knows what it is. Okay? So from eternity past, he knew all in the book of the living who would believe and who wouldn't. When a person dies without Christ, their name's blotted out. There is another book, the book of life. We'll look at it next session. It's the life, it's the names of all who are believers through time. Well, their name didn't get two books. Their name getting a book blotted out of the book of life, the living. It matches up. It's over here in the book of life. So the two books match. So all the names that are on the book of life of living people as they die that are unbelievers, names blotted out. Let's take our break.